This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How we doing today?
Kevin, we've done it. We have arrived at Tuesday before the week before the draft. So we have a mission accomplished so far. I'm pretty excited about everything. Actually, this is a really good day for me. I'm feeling really happy.
Good.
Alec, you?
I'm happy because you're happy.
Nice. Yeah. I like that a lot.
We're so close to the draft, man. Yeah. I'm so excited.
And we just had a draft. What happened in that draft?
We got Paige.
Could it be any better right now? We got the best basketball player in the entire world. In Dallas.
Doesn't that just mean we're going to trade her?
For the first time in the history of sports. Right?
Yeah, Luka was never the best.
Yeah, we've never had the best player before.
He wasn't.
Ever. He was good. He was
ours. He was good.
But he wasn't the best.
Is Paige going to be the best?
Michael Jordan. Well, hold on. So Bobby this morning said that she is better than Caitlin Clark. And
okay.
I know Caitlin Clark has the most hype around her. But does Paige doesn't have that hype, but she might be the more technically sound player out of both of those.
And now she's on the wings.
From the 214, time to trade Paige for Sue Bird. We're in win now mode. All right. That's the way we start this thing, boys.
What a long day it is going to be if that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
877-881-1053. The Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line if you want to get involved in the conversation or hit us up on the Twitch or the YouTube. But we're going to start. We'll talk about Paige a little bit more in just a minute. We got Stephen Jones coming on the show at about 11:30, but we're going to start with some more Texas Rangers, and unfortunately, this might not be a positive highlight. Give me cut number 7.
The 1-1. High drive. Well hit ball out into center. Leote just watching as it hits up over the batter's eye. Second home run for De La Cruz. Both come with men on board. This two-run shot makes it 14-0.
Now, before the season started, we talked about how the Rangers look like they were going to be a really fun team to watch. They have been decidedly not fun to watch or listen to.
Yeah.
Now, they still have a good record, and I'm stoked about that, but why do you think this team has not been fun to watch thus far?
Because they're not stringing together a bunch of hits. You know, like,
I could see that.
Like we talked about, what, two first innings now, they've gotten bases loaded and been very minimal damage. And I still think the pitching's been a blast to watch. The Nate Eovaldi's given us some special things to see. Jack Leiter gave us some special things. Like, the pitching has been fun to watch at times. The hitting, however, has been an absolute struggle because the hitting is not producing a hit here, hit there, hit there, hit there, hit there. That's the most fun part of baseball. A solo home run for a game is not fun, right?
It can be.
In a 1-0 game?
Sure.
For the most part, though, it's more fun whenever your team is driving doubles. You got two runners on. There's intense stuff going on, and you know that your dude's about to come through. If that dude doesn't come through, then you have problems. So I think that's one of my biggest reason that it's been that way.
I think there are a lot of reasons. One of them, I would say, Jacob deGrom just looks like a normal pitcher. And, I mean, I'm glad he's still healthy and he's still pitching, but Jacob deGrom just looks like a normal pitcher so far, and that's been pretty disappointing. Alec?
That one's rough because you start to see like, especially Mets fans, they're like, I remember when he was pumping 102 past people, and now he's trying to sneak 95 inside the zone behind people. That's it's different. It's taking some getting used to, but I think that the biggest thing for me, honestly, is just the pop is still not there from most people. Like, outside of Jonah Heim. Jonah Heim gets my exemption. He gets my pass in this instance. But once we start to get some slug going for this team, we talked about it a lot yesterday, but, you know, the lack of depth in the rotation, the fact that, like, Dane Dunning couldn't even break camp with the major league team. There's a lot of things that just aren't as fun so far, but it all goes down to the offense not doing what they need to do. I know we're going to talk a lot about Jock Peterson today.
Yeah. If Peterson and Berger were better,
excited for those moves.
Yeah, we'd be absolutely all about it, because those two dudes in the lineup would give us more of those opportunities to see more runners on base or see trots around the bases. But because they're not there, virtually non-existent for the team right now.
Exactly, and I thought the Jock Peterson leadoff experiment would go a little bit better, because a lot of his offensive production over his career was from the leadoff spot. Looking at some of the numbers, he's had some good success there, so I was thinking, hey, maybe one game, getting more at-bats like we talked about with Evan Carter, you know, what's a way that we can get a guy more at-bats, put him higher up in the lineup to get him more turns at the plate. I was hoping that maybe that one game instance would help, but all across the lineup, I'm just not having much fun watching these Rangers bat right now.
I was looking up the stats for Peterson and Berger combined 11 for 96. Yikes. That's like, I don't know why that's even worse than I thought it was in my mind.
Is that over 100? Just barely?
Yes, it is over 100.
But if they don't get...
Not by a lot.
If they don't get hits in their next five, will that be
It'll be less than that before they could drop right below 100.
We can do it. Tonight's when we start, all right? It's a new series. It's a new opportunity. Let's get this thing rolling now and get above 100 as a hitter.
Do you care that... I mean, I guess. Like,
look, Kevin,
what a depressing statistic that is.
You can't get to 200... without getting to 100 first. We can't just take one big bite out of it. We got to take little small bites at a time, and eventually we'll get there.
Okay. You can't get to a batting average of 200 without getting to 100 first.
Yeah, you got
to
get there first.
I'm not disputing the math on that, obviously.
Unless, there is a way. If you start at 1,000, if you start the season at 1,000, then you didn't have to go to 100 to get to 200.
I guess that is true. So I wanted to go back to the hitting, and look, I can spin this in a positive way or a negative way if you want. So the Rangers have posted a slugging percentage of 626. Let's try that again. A team-wide on-base plus slugging percentage of 626.
Is that good?
No, that is not. That is the seventh worst in baseball. And they're in the bottom nine or worse in batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging. Let's take it a step further. Since 2010, no of the 58 teams, only three have made the playoffs. And I know it's early. And I know people are going to be like, oh, it's a tenth of the way through the season. I hear you. And I do. And I hope that all of this turns around. But the 2024 Tigers, so just...
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Happened last year. 2020 Guardians and the 2012 A's. Those are the only ones out of that group of 48. Sorry if I think I said 58. Out of that group of 48 made the playoffs.
Okay.
That's a 6% clip. But.
Small chance.
There's a small chance.
Very small chance.
Exactly. Better chance than.
Zero.
Jocker. Jake Berger getting. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. That is not true. They're hitting like 11%. All right.
5% better.
Exactly. almost twice as much. Now, to go along with that, though, only five of those teams had as many wins as the Rangers. And that's what I think is like the bizarre silver lining to all of this. So far, I think the Rangers have been incredibly boring to watch. I did see people say that Eovaldi complete game shutout was super exciting. Agreed. But for the most part, I think the Rangers have been incredibly boring to watch. But they still have a winning record, and they've already outpaced a lot of these historical teams, so that could be good.
Did you enjoy Leiter's starts when he looked like he was right? For me, I think it was one of those, like, it was the culmination of finally going, oh, look, he's finally gotten to what we expected.
Yeah.
And he was throwing heat, and he was all still kind of all wild, and I was loving it.
But it was just two starts, right?
Yeah.
I think, and then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what's holding me back on that, is I get it. It was a blister, and that's going to happen with pitchers.
You're going to feel
like
comfortable
that.
About midseason, yeah, if he's still cruising.
Exactly.
Like that.
Okay. Or if he's like, I mean, and I know he's going to struggle. Like, I realize the numbers.
He'll never struggle.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Prediction.
Well, then I'll definitely not worry. If he continues to have a whip and ERA under one, I will definitely not worry. Let's go on the off chance that he does have an ERA similar to Jock Peterson's batting average. No, I'm just kidding. Relax, everybody. I'm just kidding. If he has some struggles, I'll just appreciate it if he can go out there every 5 days. Because that's the thing. You've never seen Jack Leiter go
right
out there every 5 days and pitch well.
Yep.
You've seen him go out there every 5 days and not pitch well. You've now seen him go out there twice and unfortunately have to go on the injured list. But I am very hopeful that we are going to get to the other side of that.
I am very curious. Last year, it seemed like Bochy and Chris Young were very patient with this roster. It kept being we've seen them do it, guys. We know. We just watched them win a World Series. We understand that. Like, we were in the same boat where we were giving them as much leeway and time as they could have. Do you think that Bochy and Chris Young will be a little shorter leash this year? And by the end of this month, probably go, okay, we have to make some adjustments. Like, we've seen what we've seen. Jock and Berger aren't... I think Berger is... He's your first baseman. They're not going to do much there. That's just my feeling on that. But will they look at that and say, we're going to have to find different bats? We thought this was going to work, and it's clearly not right now.
I think the end of the month is probably a good
place to start.
Yeah, that's probably a good place to start.
Last year, you got to trade deadline, and they were still like, I don't know. I know. I feel like we can still work with this team.
And that you'll learn a lot because the injuries really made them feel like they couldn't compete last year, right? So assuming you stay out of that environment and you're just like, hey, we're just struggling, I think you'll see this team be more aggressive and make some moves. But for people who are like, whether, because I know people are still irritated at Semien or Peterson or Berger or Leo, whoever it is, I think by the end of the month is finally when you might be like, all right, I've now seen you for the entirety of a month, and obviously a little bit more than a month. Now I feel comfortable to make some decisions. And at that point, you'll be like a fifth of the way through the season. And some of those numbers that felt like struggles, well, that's 20% of your season right there. I wanted to follow up because you asked me about this yesterday. Oblique injuries.
Oh my gosh, so many of them.
Now, I tapped into the resources of FanGraphs. I did not figure this out on my own. I wish I could tell you that. Believe it or not, the Rangers aren't even close to the top of the list. They only have the fifth most oblique injuries in the American League in the last 5 years. So they have 9. And that includes already, clearly, we've had multiple obliques with Wyatt Langford. But it peaked a couple years ago with Leody, Ezekiel Duran, and Brad Miller. 9 is a lot. But you know who leads the way? Tampa Bay, who has 16.
What?
And then Minnesota and Toronto each had 13. And then the Angels and the Royals each had 10. So I get it. Every time there's an oblique injury, it does feel like the Rangers have more oblique injuries than anyone in the history of baseball. I'm just telling you, in this 5-year span, it's not even close.
What I love here, Kevin, is you just gave us a reason for optimism. Like that in a segment where we're down on everything, you just gave us a reason for optimism. Whereas with Tampa, everything's very bleak because of the oblique injuries. Bleak.
See,
you see, it's bleak and oblique.
I get it now.
But you can use them in terms.
I really thought that maybe something happened in Tampa Bay that I hadn't heard about. What?
I was talking about, that was just trying to throw everybody off with the she's dead thing.
See, and that's why I didn't want to laugh or anything, because I thought maybe something really bad had happened in Tampa Bay. And then if I was like, ha, 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 people are like, that's messed up, dude.
What a terrible,
how are you going to laugh at that?
Heartless man.
Yeah, those, and like something happened to the kids or something. I'd be like, I didn't know that. So I did not want to get caught up in that. I do also, thank you, Bruce Bochy, have positive news, sort of, for Marcus Semien. Hey, we're going to be pretty liberal with our definition of positive here, okay? Marcus Semien has a 387 OPS so far. That is not good.
It's not good by his standards at all.
Yes. In fact, it is the worst OPS of his career this far into the season. You know what was the previous worst? 2022. Once again, with the Rangers. When that season was over, he had a WAR of 5.7.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if I want to give you the rest of the context. Would be that his OPS at this point in the season last time was 500, and now it's 387. So that's even like significantly worse. But still, he went on to have a WAR of 5.7 and a fine, if not particularly exceptional, season.
And how old is he now?
Ooh, is he like 34?
And at that age, I don't know. Right? What you're saying here is you anticipate at that age, most players continue to get better as the season goes on.
I mean, like players like Nelson Cruz got better.
I love Nelson Cruz. You know that I love Nelson Cruz. And so that's thank you for giving me that kind of promise there. I appreciate that very much, Kevin. And I'm also proud of you for all the positivity that you just delivered to our lives.
From the, man, it's really tough. From the 254, can we turn the page for Beckers on this negative segment? And is Kevin trying to be positive about the Rangers today? They actually texted in, my name is Kevo, and I'm going to pass on that. But I appreciate the rest of the compliment.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's MensTClinic.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.